Praise God. Thank you for that plug. Thank you. All right, you got your Bibles tonight? Praise God. I was thinking about a scripture over here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. I've been meditating on this for quite some time, number of weeks, months, before we teach. There's a scripture here in Deuteronomy 4, 39 and 40. The scripture says, "Know therefore this day and consider in your heart that the Lord, He is God." I mean, God is God, amen? He is God in heaven above and on the earth. There's none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day. What's the number one commandment in the new covenant? Love is the only commandment which covers all the Ten Commandments, anything else you can find that God's going to say. He's a God of love. You know, for us in the New Testament, over it says here that what will happen if you walk in love? That it may go well with you. Well, being sick is not things going well. Or if somebody's in your family sick, you know, you don't enjoy life, takes away your time. Just ask this people over here just recently. Takes away your money, takes away your energy, all your concentration. You can't do what you're supposed to do. You want to focus on normal life, but it's stolen. The devil comes, steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, if you keep my statutes, I remember one thing Brother Higgin used to say whenever he got into some kind of mess, he'd always check his heart. Am I walking in love? Am I thinking right? Am I treating people well? Do I, you know, whatever, you know, that description over there, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, is a description, a very, very detailed description about love. You want to go over there for a moment? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I do have a lesson, by the way, other than this. I'm just following my heart. 1 Corinthians 13, let's go over there for a second. This is a detailed description. If you go over there, the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. And we'll read four scriptures there. Paul begins to talk to the Corinthians because they had trouble with their love walk because there was a lot of fighting. If you read in the first chapter, you'll find that there was lots of division going on, people comparing themselves with one another and, you know, trying to, I'm not sure exactly, but there was not a lot of good stuff. And James said, if there's a lot of strife going on, there's a work of the devil going on. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's go to verse 4, Amplified. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Have you been impatient with some member of your family? Have you been unkind to people? Well, that's love. That's walking in love or not walking in love, which either if you left it off. It endures long. It put up with a lot of stuff. You can't say, well, I've had enough. That's not what the Bible says about love. Now, you might even say that sometime and because you had walked in the flesh. But the Bible says that love endures long. That's why they say love never goes to the divorce court. That kind of love. Never. When two Christians walking in love together, that doesn't ever happen. It takes two people to tangle. You notice that? You even fight with yourself. The inward and the outward side. But notice, he says there that love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. I see lots of jealousy going on Facebook. Don't look at me now, that tone of voice. jealousy going on. People don't like it. Everybody's having a good time, and they don't like if someone's winning or their team is losing. And I know there's a lot of Leaf fans that are sad here. I don't know. But it says here, if you look at some more, it says that not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride, is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love, or God, the God kind of love, you know, Romans 4, I believe it is, or 5, it says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When you got born again, that same love came in you that has to develop, or at least we have to develop in it, is in us. So we can forgive. We can let go. Jesus said, anybody, if you have any kind of grudge against anybody, resentment, you must let it go. To forgive means to leave it and let it go. Let's all say that. Say, leave it and let it go. One more time. Say, leave it and let it go. That's what it means to forgive. So if you got anything going on that's in your heart and you're looking for healing, we're talking about healing tonight, this is what's going to help you, this love business. Brother Hagin, when he left, you know, he died, I think, 2003, yeah? And I think you were at Rhema at that time. You were at Rhema, so the Lord told me you were too late. You should have kept go earlier. The Lord told me, go to Rhema, because Brother Hagin is going, and you want to sit under Brother Hagin. So I went. I didn't have any money. And he said, if you don't go, you never will. Because he knew that if Brother Hagin wasn't there, I wouldn't have never gone. So I didn't have any money. How many people know you don't have to have any kind of qualifications, any money, to obey God? Amen. Amen. And I just listened to a preacher this morning by the name of Joseph Prenti. He was saying those kind of things. I don't know if you agree with him, but I agree with the Bible. Praise God. Are you guys doing okay? It says in here, verse 5, is not conceited, arrogant, and so on. Now, if you read on, it's inflated with pride, not unmannerly and unbecoming and so forth. It is not self-seeking. It's not touchy, fretful, resentful. It takes no account of its evil done to it. So you better put your black book away. You better burn it. You know, I know what he did to me. I'll never forget that. I'm going to get my chance. You might keep your sickness too and stay broke at the same time because your prayers aren't working. No account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It rejoices not in injustice and in unrighteousness. It rejoices when the right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. I can't believe what so-and-so does. I don't think they'll ever make anything. You'll never amount to anything. Well, that's not love, right? So let's believe God and believe the best of people because we believe in God. We believe God could take someone out from the gutter and help them no matter how bad they've treated you. Amen? Amen. Amen? No matter what they've said, glory to God. Amen? So that's what I thought I'd add because verse 40 of Deuteronomy 4, it says that if you keep his statutes, his commandments, which I command you this day, that it may go well with you. And with thy children after thee. Not only that, but it goes along with your family. It affects everything you do. When you don't walk in love, it affects your whole household. So, if the husband and wife not get along, it affects their children, and sometimes long term. So let's walk in love. And I was thinking about another scripture about that. I believe in 2 Kings 4, there's a lady, a Shunammite woman. She was barren, didn't have any children. But she thought she had helped the ministry, a prophet. And so she gathered herself together and asked her husband, let's go ahead and Make a little house for this prophet. He's a traveling minister. He travels by here regularly. Let's get him a room in our house. And when he goes by, he has somewhere to stay, somewhere to eat, something to eat and refresh himself. And so they did that and then had invited the prophet into their home. Brother Higgins said something that really astounded me. Over the years, you know, you hear something. You might even hear something here tonight. It won't make too much to you. Tell later. I heard so many things listening to Brother Higgins. I've listened to many years of listening. I told my wife the very first tape I listened to was a healing tape. It's called Healing Belongs to Us, which I'm going to preach tonight. And a guy from the Full Gospel Businessman gave me that tape in the early 80s. And I listened to that over and over. I didn't know who Brother Higgins was. I listened to that tape. And it just impressed on me. And it stayed with me. And I listened to that. It just fed me. There's stories in there. You know, he told different stories about different things. But things stay with you. Why am I saying that? I don't know. I'm looking at everybody here about that. What was I saying about that? Huh?
You might not understand it now.
Yeah, you might not understand. Yeah, you might not understand everything right away. But sooner or later, it'll register in your spirit. Because you could hear something in a service, and it don't mean anything. That's why when you read the Bible, please read the Bible, and you say, well, I don't understand. Well, it don't matter if you don't understand. Just read it. And God will bring it back to you. And get the discipline to read the scriptures as much as you can, every night, every day. And so he told a story about the Shunammite woman. That's what I was trying to gather to you. And he said when he was traveling ministry, he said, I've never gone into a person's home and stayed with a couple or a family that have never had the gift, the prophetic gift, operate for that house. You know, Jesus said if you entertain a prophet or you give a cup of water to that person, minister, whatever, you get that reward. In other words, whatever gift on that ministry gift, and you start agreeing and blessing that ministry, you're going to get that whatever is coming, you know, whatever gift there. And Paul said the same thing to the Corinthians. He said, you know, you bless me, everything God will supply every need that you, because they bless financially to the ministry. And so he said, I stayed in a lady's house, and they had some sort of things going on. I guess someone got lost, and a young child was traveling on the bus. And, you know, they had a problem with locating her, and everyone was scared. Of course, you get a girl in California, a teenage girl getting on the bus, and then you don't find her anymore, then you get afraid, because there's a lot of people who could abduct children. Just a 16-year-old girl. So these people were just crying and at night, and so he woke up, and he had a revelation. He said, suddenly, he said, I saw this little girl at the depot in that vision. I saw that girl get on a different bus, and she did get on a different bus, and it's amazing what happens to people when we begin to, focus and bless the ministry in the Lord and stuff. So he said to those people, don't worry about it. Don't cry about it. She's okay. But they're crying, see? They're crying. Now, let me just read this scripture here. Where did I say to go? 2 Kings? 2 Kings 4, I think it is. 2 Kings 4. Let's go there for a second. And we'll find the verse of scripture. There's the lady here. Let's pick it up, verse 8. And it fell on that day that Elisha passed to the Shunem, where there was a great woman. She was constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that, this is verse 8. As often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat. That's a good place to eat. I mean, a free meal. He said unto her husband, Behold, I perceive that this is a holy man, she said, of God, which passed by us continually. Let us make a little chamber that I pray on the wall, let us keep us set for him, for there for bed and a table and a stool and candlestick, and it shall be that when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the dead that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, of course, he had the ministry helps person with him, person who helped him as he traveled. When they had called her, he stood before him. You know, understand this, when you stand before a minister, something happens. Oftentimes, I feel an urge to call an altar call, I'll get in front of somebody, I won't know something until I get in front of that person. It happened a few times lately, and when someone needed something, I read, there's this young lady was sitting here just several weeks ago, and I read her mail exactly what was going on in her life. And in the coffee room after when we met, she said, how do you know all that? You knew all that stuff. I didn't know anything, but I was sure that I knew what was going on in her life. And this is the way it works. And as soon as this woman, the Shunammite woman, stood in front of the gift began to flow. Notice this. Samuel, in 1 Samuel, I think it's 6:17 over there, he called those seven sons, and each one walked past before him. And physically he thought, this is the guy God's called. And every time he looked, he thought, no, this is the one. Because he was checking the outward appearance of someone, but God said, no, I look at the heart. And so he said, there's got to be somebody else. He said, yeah, there's a little boy, insignificantly. He's in the field. He's too young and smelly, works with sheep, so he's out there. You know, if God wants to find you, if you're working with sheep somewhere, he's going to find you. And you don't have to push your way through anything. God's going to find you. He knows where to find you. If he wants to use you, he'll find you. So just do what you're supposed to do. A lot of times we think God's forgetting us, but he's not. So anyway, all the sons passed through. As soon as the little boy David come, he said, that's the one. And that's the king, that's the next king. Thank God how the gifts work. We can't dictate to God how it works. And that's why a lot of times I tell people, you get out of your chair and come now. I mean, you could receive more than just a slap on the head. Amen? And my prayer, you're going to receive more than that, so thank God for that. So he said to Gehazi, verse 12, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, say unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us, or he took care of his deeds, with all the care. What is it to be done to thee? Why shouldest thou be spoken for thee to the king or to the captain of the host? She answered, I dwell among my own people. And when he said, what is then to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she had no child, and her husband is old. And he called to her, and when he had called her, she stood at the door. And he said, about this season, according to this time, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nah. So must have been talking to Glenn Wesley, Pastor Glenn. And nay, he said, the Lord, thou art man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son in that season, or 1 year from then, 9 months. Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell one day that he went on out to his father, unto the reapers, and he said unto her, father, my head, and he said unto, he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him, brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed, and then the man of God shut the door upon him and went out. And when he called to her husband, he said, send me I pray thee, the young man, and say, and so he said, we're going to go to the man of God, basically. And so they did. When they were coming, the man of God said, go and find that woman. Ask her, is everything okay? And the child is dead. So he asked the woman, notice, he said, verse 26, run now, I pray thee, meet her and say unto her, it is well with thee? It is well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? She answered, it is well. The child is dead. Pretty soon, you know, a lot of us, we come to a place in our lives where we don't see any way out of anything, and we don't see any answer coming any soon. We think this is it. But we need to make a faith confession in the midst of all our trials. We had a bad news the other day. We prayed for someone who was given a sentence to die. We laid hands. I felt that power going to that. I believe if that person receives it, they'll live. There's no two ways about it. Glory to God. I don't know. That's the way the Word of God works. So thank the Lord that it is well. So if you walk in love, it's going to be well with you. And the Lord might check you and say, hey, listen, you know what? You need to walk in love. Praise God. Amen? So it is well with you. We can close right now and go watch the hockey game. Well, Jesus is our healer. Healing belongs to us. Anybody that disagrees with that? Well, if you're sick, just go ahead and stay sick. And don't go to the doctors. Don't take any medicine. And don't fight against the will of God because He wants you sick. But we know everybody wants to be well. Yeah. And especially if you're really sick and you're suffering and you're just in pain, you want to die to get out of it, escape your body. And you know, people say, well, let me die. And we say, well, let me pray for you first. And then you can die if you want to. Let God heal you first. And if you want to die after, then you go ahead and die. And you pray for them and they get well and they don't want to die. Amen. So they don't want to die. We have a strong urge to live. So Isaiah 53:4-5, it says here, surely he had borne our griefs. You know what the word griefs means? In the Hebrew, it means sickness, griefs. He borne. In other words, he took it on his body, himself. Surely he had borne our griefs. Matthew 8:17 says, himself took our infirmities. The physical weaknesses, sicknesses of our body. Himself did it. He don't need you to suffer. And our religion, it told us that we're suffering for our sins so that, you know, God's teaching you a lesson. He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word sorrows means pains in Hebrew. And that it also means diseases. You know, dis-ease. You're not well. So walking in love is going to solve that for some folks because they've been walking in love and they got sick. And until they start treating people well, they ain't going to get better because you're breaking the law, all the law. The law is the law of love. You're ignorant to people, cashiers, Tim Hortons people. That's not walking in love. You don't want to tip because you didn't like that waitress? No, that's not walking in love. Glory to God, we're getting everywhere. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Notice this word here. Yet we did esteem him, that is Jesus, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It's not what the Roman soldiers did to him that God is healing. It was God laid on Jesus. Verse 10 says, he made him to grief, or he put Jesus to sick. When he was on the cross, he became sin for us, but he also became sick for us. Somebody said, and I like it because it makes a whole lot of sense, we're as much healed as we are saved. Because it's all in there. I remember listening to that teaching, the twofold redemption, the spirit and body, that when Jesus died, he didn't just die for us spiritually, but physically as well, for whatever we need. Because we're living here. It's fine for him to do stuff for us after, but we need stuff now. Yeah. And there's a devil running around. So But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And I mentioned iniquities. Iniquities are when somebody is really deep-grained walking in that kind of sin and doesn't even know the difference anymore. See, you know, if you're not careful as a Christian, you can go on sinning for a long time and don't think it's okay. You think it's okay now. Because you get hard. You can get hardened to an area. If you say no in your conscience long enough, that conscience becomes seared. You're not sensitive to that area of the spirit anymore. And then you go out and you lose sight of it. That's pretty deep, isn't it? That's what the Bible says. You get seared. Look at the scriptures. A seared conscience. So, but he was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. I was telling the guys last night about the chastisement of our peace. I had terrible anxiety problems. Somebody called me about 4 o'clock yesterday morning. And I had a talk with that person later on. And they said, you know, I have a terrible, just suffering from terrible, anxiety and fear and everything. So just recurring over and over. I can't get away from it. And I remembered when I had the reoccurring trauma in my own life, I didn't know what it was. People didn't give me a term for it before. I didn't understand it. I mean, I was a student back then in the 80s, and I'm going to school. I wondered why I would have breakdowns in class, and I couldn't sit in the classroom. I didn't realize that if you're going to be a helper, you have to deal with all your issues before you go and be a helper. Well, no one told me that. If they told me, I didn't listen. You know, and so even when you're at work, if you suffer trauma at work, you got to talk to somebody. Like, I have a friend who's a firefighter. They said when they ever go, he's the first one there to see a wreck, and he sees all those pieces there. He said, I have to talk to somebody. So you have these reoccurring things happening. Pastors and everybody else hear all kinds of bad stories, and we need to talk to somebody. So I heard this story, and I remembered, I said, you know what? Because I went through it and I said to that person, I said, you know what? You can get through this with confidence. And Jesus told me this. I'm traveling to Rocky Bay. It was probably 1985, I think it was. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said to me, did you know I died for your peace? Because I was suffering terribly with this anxiety issue. And when he said that to me, I'd never had the same kind of I had the same thing try to get back on me over the years. I had two major ones, one in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and one in when I was in university doing my master's studies in Manitoba. I had the same thing. I was paralyzed. I thought I was going to die. It was that evil. I was at a camp meeting in Tulsa when this second one happened to me. But I have other ones that have reoccurring. I understand this. If the devil's attacked you in one area, he's not going to give up. He's going to try to get back to you. And if there's anything in your family that's been attacking your family for centuries, it's going to try to come back. You have to stand in faith against those areas there. You know, it's amazing. Jesus said, wherever the devil's been, he's going to try to get back. That's why the alcoholic, the drug addict, they go back again. You wonder why they go back? It's the same devils that got them back there. They try to get you back. Whatever you had before. But we can stand against it. That's the difference between knowing something. So I know now that I can actually stand against it. That's why I tell you regularly here, Psalm 23 says, I will fear no evil. That's for you and me. Amen. We can say, I'm not going to be afraid. And yet you're afraid, feeling afraid. You say, no, I'm not going to be afraid. I will not let fear take over my life anymore. I will not let anxiety overcome in my life. All is well. All is well.
All is well.
See, that's what you got to tell yourself. If you got thoughts bothering you, you have to speak to your thoughts verbally. That's the only way to get rid of bad thoughts is to talk to yourself. That's why God tells us to meditate on the word. Meditating on the word is talking to yourself, to your own spirit about the word. Okay. So, and then he says, it was upon us, and with his stripes we are healed. So, Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus in this verse of scripture. He's talking about, he's foretelling of course, the future, talking about the future, what's going to happen here. He's talking about Jesus. He's prophesying about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who died for us, our sins, and paid our price of whatever we need. And then Matthew, years and years later, Matthew 8, chapter 14 and to 17. Let's go to Matthew 8 and chapter, let's see. We have some time. Thank God. You're not in a rush tonight. Okay. Matthew. When Peter was coming to Peter's house, and I said last night Peter had a house. So you should have one. So Peter had a house. He saw his wife's mother-in-law. In other words, his mother-in-law. He wouldn't say that. His wife's mother-in-law. No, his wife's mother-in-law. But he says that she was sick of a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And that's a good lesson there. When you are healed, we ought to serve God. Amen. Exodus 15:26, God says, if you serve me, I'll heal you. That's a promise. If you want to use your energy for me, serve me, I'm going to heal you. But if you just want to get healed, just for the sake of being healed, relieving your pain, that's another story. You're better off thinking the other way. Jesus said, if you follow me, serve me, I'll heal you. And he says there, the Bible said he touched her hand and the fever left her. The other version says that Jesus spoke to the fever and it left. You could do both ways. With the anointing, if your anointing is there, it'll just drive it out. If the anointing is strong enough, it'll just drive it out. And then but he said he spoke to the fever. So, when evening was come, they brought unto many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word. And he healed all. Notice that. He healed all. And I went to the scriptures last night, maybe about 2 o'clock this morning, and I went through the scriptures about where he said he healed all. You know, Jesus healed everybody. According to the scripture, as far as God's concerned, your healing has been already gotten. That's according to the scripture. Now, it's hard for other people to receive it, especially if you've been born a certain way. Hello? If you're born, if you have diabetes since you're a child, it's going to take some time for us to think about some things, you know. And there's things in our own families that have been there for a while. So it does take some little bit of revelation. So that has to be so real in you. Can't be a doubt. Oh, maybe this. Oh, maybe that. If that's still there, you'll still have it. No question. It's easy for you. Somebody said, well, you're not blind. You're not crippled. But you don't see what's on me either. There's other things in people's lives. See, we have people who have problems with vision and blood sickness. I've got people in my team who've had problems since they were kids with different physical ailments. But God healed them. That's what the scripture says. Yeah. I'm telling you what it says here. So, he healed all that were sick. Not just some of them, not just the ones he did predetermined, but all of them who were sick. And you look at the scriptures, you find that he healed every one of them. He never one time did he ever return somebody back. He said, listen, you have to suffer for a while. You know, it's not your time. It's not the right time for you to be healed. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah. We read Isaiah earlier, which was when he said that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, Peter quotes, not only these were two, Matthew and Peter were apostles who were with Jesus, they wrote books. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So either you are or you're not. So if you say, well, I'm not. I still have this. I can't walk. There's people in the Bible that Jesus said, do you want to be healed? The guy was born that way. 4 years, Jesus walks up to him, do you want to be made well? And the person said, well, I don't have anybody to help me. Every time I want to step in that water, when they trouble the water, angel comes down, somebody steps before me. Well, this was a gift of the Spirit operating, but Jesus told him, but still had to have permission to minister to him, even with the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus knew that what's going to happen next. Well, she said, no, I'm not ready. I was then praying for someone who had, they're on workman's compensation. And I said, you know, we were ministering people, successfully getting people healed. I said, let me just pray for you. She said, no. He says, I'm going to lose my check. I want to still keep this workman's compensation check. I'm getting insurance money. I remember Brother Hagin giving a story about one person who really shattered their arm so badly they could not ever use it ever again. Impossible for him physically to use that arm again. I know people with glass eye, Ken, who can see with the glass eye. I'm serious. I'm really serious. I've had, you know, these things. And so this guy could not have a use of his arm. So they prayed for him. And, oh, wow, he could use his arm. He said, you better go check to the doctor. He went to the doctor. The doctor says, hey, you could use that arm. He said, well, what about my pension? He said, well, they said you can have it. They said you can't use it. And we said, you can use it. Go ahead. Enjoy your pension. So you got blessed both ways. So we can limit God. You know, I mean, although we have different visual disabilities, you know, different ones that have problems, let's not limit God to the fact that you have a glass eye or something. I mean, Ken was talking to, what's her name, trying to freak her out. He said, I'll show you my eye right now. A different one, you know, I mean, my good friend here, he's got the same thing, a glass eye. He didn't realize I had a glass eye too, right? And I can see both of them. They're both of them. But these are, Isaiah prophesied. Matthew said, himself took our infirmities. He's quoting Isaiah. Then Peter begins to look back and quotes the same thing. Now, Jesus said himself, like Matthew 8, 1 to 3, when Peter was coming down from the mountain, it says, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. You know, lepers were incurables. Just like anything else we look at today, there's some things that are incurable. It's going to take divine healing to do something with that situation. So here we see this situation, a divine healing in a thing where you're not supposed to get well from it. But it's in the Bible. Amen. And so there came a leper worshiper saying, Lord, if you will, or if you're willing, you can make me clean. So two things about that. Number one, he wasn't sure if God was willing to heal him. He knew God could. So we said, you know, we're studying healing, and everybody is going to have to, you're going to have to do this. If you're going to minister healing, you're a Christian. Jesus told all of us to go minister healing. Whether you're suffering yourself, you still have to minister the healing. It's given to all of us. I've known people who had disabilities praying for people, and they get them healed. And so anyway, this person, the two ways here, we see Jesus put forth his hand and said, I will be clean. And God says, I will. So God's willing, wants you well, coincides with the other scriptures we just read. If you're willing. So people question. So we said last night, long as you question God's willingness to heal you, or if healing is available, if healing is real, then you will never get healed. That's the number one question, the number one thing we all have to deal with, if I can be well. Each one of you are going to have to struggle with it yourself. You're going to have to grapple with it yourself. People can give you the scriptures. You go to the seminar, go to the conference. You got the books at home. There's everywhere all kinds of Bibles. But you yourself, you have to deal with it yourself. On your deathbed, just like Brother Hagin said, when he was on his deathbed, the last breath, he said, you know what, hey, I got to believe that I'm healed right now while I'm still sick here with all my ailments, with all my pain, that I can't walk, I can't move. I got to believe I'm well right now. And that's when he said, I got well. Just like the Shunammite woman. Is your son okay? All is well. Everybody lift that hand up and say, all is well. See, that's a faith statement because it takes faith to do that. When everything is going wrong in your life, that all is well. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you today in the name of Jesus that your word says healing belongs to us. Thank you today that healing belongs to every one of us, that we will not limit you. Even though we've been sick or had many questions about healing, we're going to side in with the Bible. We're going to agree with the Bible that healing belongs to me. Healing is mine. It's a part of our redemptive plan that God has packaged for us. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for the many healings that people have and those that will be saved and not die early because of divine healing. Thank you for the medications and the doctors who help us get through difficult times. We ask your blessing upon each one of them, our physicians, naturally. Thank you. If anyone's on medication, we pray that those medications are working. They'll do what it's supposed to do, not give them any side effects, and that healing will come. Healing will come. Thank you that we shall live and not die. We give you praise. Let's go ahead and stand up and begin to praise God together. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and thank him that all is well. All is well in your life. The money will come. The child will come home. Your husband's coming home. Your wife is coming home. Your children will be okay. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are wonderful. You're compassionate and kind. There's nobody like you. We love you, Lord. Lord God, right now we just stand in your presence and we yield ourselves to you, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you for giving us a strong spirit because of your word. Thank you that our souls are being developed, are learning to side in with our spirit. Their spirits are being educated and becoming stronger than our physical appetites and flesh. That our spirit is getting stronger than our own minds and our own personal desires. That we will, on the inside, follow your plan, follow your purpose, follow your will. Stay in the healing line. Stay in the blessings, enjoying the things of God. Thank you for the many people that we will meet, that we will have a word in season for them. The word that will come in the nighttime and speak to us. You will talk to us in the nighttime to tell us how to prepare ourselves for the upcoming days ahead, to begin to pray and seek your face and pray for our children and our grandchildren and all the people that we meet. Thank you that we're blessed wherever we go and wherever we work. That office is blessed. That the blessing of God is upon that office because we're there. I'm there. You're there. Because we're there just like Joseph. When he worked for Potiphar, Potiphar's house was blessed. And he was an Egyptian, living in an Egyptian household. And because the man of God was righteous, and because the blessing was upon his life, it extended to those that were around him. And so we affect those people that are around us. Thank you that just as Potiphar's house was blessed, and Pharaoh's government was blessed, we will be a blessing wherever we are. As you said in your word, that we are a blessing wherever we are. Thank you for the blessings of God and the mercies you have for us every single day. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost for your future right now. Oh, remove the obstacles. Remove, oh, those things that come against us that would cause us to move backwards, that would cause you to be stressed out, pressured. Oh, Rama Sama Kila. Simbri miki somro mokoshi tele me sama kasa. Imbri miki sonoro shi tele makasa mokosa. Imbri nino sokoro mo shi tele me. Go marakishin tele me som. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name. Moron leshi kili mam. makrada soto koshinde lemi. O rama sama karaba shanda kiribi sondo kurodo shiti. Liver. 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 Shaka mo sombro mo sinte. Liver, you start functioning. In the name of Jesus. Ora masama koshinde leme. In the blood cloths. Oh, to be normal, to disband and to disperse and to, oh, masinde le kisha in the blood work. Yes, the blood. I see the blood. Oh, it's pure. Oh, see, malamakasa, bokoro, running through all the body, bringing life everywhere. Bringing strength everywhere, bringing, oh, lama, nutrients everywhere, bringing the healing of God. Niri kiso no nomo shoko lama sanda kiri alama santa lama soto. Ooh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the healing anointing in this room right now. Healing lives. The healing power of God is manifested, is real, is here in this room right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lift that hand up again, to bless God. The anointing was on me, but it lifted for some reason. I don't know what happened. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Glory to God. Malama soto koro shite. We worship you, Lord. We thank you. Your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you. Blessed be God. Woo. Glory to God. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Thank you, Lord. Depression will flee. Oppression will go as you rejoice in the Lord. Heaviness. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness will flee. Depression will flee. Heaviness will flee in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lama Malakisa, Enelea Sokorobo Shite, Ambra Nala Shite Kiribi Sato Korobo Shite. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Thank you, 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 Lord. Straighten out that back. Straighten out those knees. Strengthen those knees. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Magnify the Lord. Let us magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Excuse me, are you, do you need healing in your body today? No? Just checking. Praise God. Somebody needs healing. Sometimes, you know, you try to rush things, I want to quit because people want to go home, but I have to make sure. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I remember we asked someone to, we asked for prayer, we were going to pray, the anointing was there. And then right after the service, somebody said, I was going to come. But then the anointing wasn't there after that. It's easier to minister with the anointing. And so I said, well, okay, I minister by the word. We're going to give you the word. We pray by faith. Well, I don't want that. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. In Jesus' name, amen.